Thank you, Sister LaCofton. That was beautiful. And we appreciate Brother and Sister LaCofton. They do a lot for our church. And she's always ready and willing to do anything and everything that she can. And we appreciate that so very much. Once again, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And we desire an interest in your prayers as we bring a message to this morning. I wonder how many can hold up your hand today and say, it is well with my soul. I know it is well with my soul. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to know that there's nothing between my soul and the Savior. The sins that separated us from God have been removed through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And my title is clear this morning. I like the song that Vessel Goodman used to sing. I hold a clear title to a mansion that Jesus is gone to prepare. And nothing like being free from the bondage of sin, the condemnation of sin. And the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. So I could go on and on, but I won't. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And again, I desire an answer in your prayers. My lesson this morning is going to be taken from Exodus chapter 17. I'm just going to read a few verses here. I'm going to begin at verse 8. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up on the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now that's my lesson for this morning, and I pray that God will bless the reading of his word and that it'll be for our good and for his own honor and glory. I want to talk to you today on the subject of prayer. I want to use as my thought the prayer of faith. We find in the book of James that statement, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, the Bible said. And so I want to talk about the prayer of faith for a little bit. Now, this scripture that I've read in your hearing, it's a very remarkable passage of scripture. You know, after God, He delivered the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt, and He said He was going to take them to the promised land, you know. And He promised that He would drive out all of their enemies before them. And after, of course, Moses had died, Joshua began to lead the children of Israel, and he led them across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan. And they experienced many battles. There were all kinds of wars between nations in Canaan. But the Lord gave them success, and He blessed them. And the Amaleks, as this verse 8, it says that Amalek was, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And he waged war. You know, God's people have lots of enemies. The children of Israel, when they crossed over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, they had lots of enemies. And today we face lots of enemies. And many enemies are coming against us, even at this time. As Amalek came and fought with Israel. And Moses said unto Joshua, and I don't want to read all of that again, but he told him to choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. He said, tomorrow I'm going to stand on the top of the hill and with the rod of God in mine hand. Now that rod of God, you know, that was one of the tools that God gave to Moses before he sent him down into the land of Egypt. And that rod represented the power and the strength of God. And he was still carrying that rod with him at that time. And so he said, I'm going up on the hill and I'll take the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua obeyed Moses' command. And he chose men and went out to fight against Amalek. And Moses went up on the hill. And the Bible says that it came to pass when Moses raised his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. And then the verse in verse 12 said Moses' hands were heavy. I don't know if you've ever just stood for a little while and held your arms out like that or up like that. They get pretty heavy in just a short time. And I guess he let his hands down to rest perhaps. But when he let his hands down, the enemy prevailed. Aaron and Ur, they took a stone and they placed it, and Moses sat down upon the stone. And Aaron and Ur, they, one on either side of him, held his arms up. And they prevailed. Now, I think this is a picture of prayer. I think that this is, you know, we read in the Bible in a number of places about lifting up the hands. In the book of Psalms in chapter 141, I just want to give you a couple of examples of this. It says in 141 and 1 and 2, Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. I think that's having reference to prayer, lifting up his hands up before the Lord. Then we read again in chapter 143 and in verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Then we read in the second chapter of 1 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul said, I would that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. And so this is just, I think, a picture of prayer, of lifting up our hands to God with a desire for God to bless us and to help us in the trials of this life and in the battles that we face. We are aware of the fact that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't have a physical battle as the children of Israel had with Amalek and the enemies of the Lord. They were in war. It was physical war. Now, we don't fight each other physically. The enemies that surround us and that face us and that would attempt to destroy us, they are not physical. The Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So our enemies, you know, are not physical, but they are real. They are real enemies that God's people face. And then the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God, that we might stand in the evil day. He said, stand therefore, having done all to stand. And he tells us about the armor of God. And I don't want to get into that, but you can read that in the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians about putting on the whole armor of God. In order to stand in the evil day. And so I want you to think about this. Aaron and Ur, they were helpers to Moses. I think in a measure, Moses represents a minister, a preacher. We do know that Moses was a prophet. And we do know that he was the one was the mediator of the new of the old covenant. He presented the law of God to the children of Israel. He went up on Mount Sinai, and he spent 40 days up there with the Lord. And when he came down, he had these two tablets of stone. And in those tablets of stone were written the Ten Commandments. And he took them to the children of Israel. And he said, this is the law of God, and this is what God requires of you. And they said, whatsoever the Lord requires, we'll do. And so in a perhaps a type or maybe a shadow, Moses, was a minister unto God, and he was a minister to the people. So Aaron and Ur, they were certainly helpers to Moses when he was standing up there. He was lifting up his hands and holding them up before God. They stayed his hands to where they wouldn't come down. And you know, I really do believe in the Word of God. I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I believe that the word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. I believe that it can cut to the dividing of asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But the Bible teaches us, that we need to pray that the word will have free course, you know. The ministry of the church belongs to all the members of the church. And we have a responsibility to hold up the word, you know. And we need to hold it up in our prayers and with our prayers. And we need to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That is, we need to have faith when we pray. And we need to believe that God is going to hear and answer. And God's going to give us victory. And so I think that's this lesson that I've read is just a picture of that. The minister of God doing his job, preaching the word. And the people holding him up before God with their prayers. And praying that the word will have free course. And that it will be effective in the hearts of those that hear it. And I pray that God today will help us as God's people that we can do that. I wanted to mention another thing too. Over in the 20th chapter of the book of 2 Chronicles, there was the kingdom of Israel had divided, and they were no longer a united kingdom. There were 10 kingdoms in the north and 2 in the south. And Jehoshaphat had become the king of Judah. But they were still enemies there that they had to contend with. And so the Bible tells us that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, they waged war against Jehoshaphat. And I'm turning to this, and I'll get to it in a minute. Just give me a minute of time. And it says, they came against Jehoshaphat, came against them. And there came some and told Jehoshaphat, there's a multitude that have come against us. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. So the enemy was coming. And so the first thing that the king did was proclaim a fast. And he set himself to seek the Lord. And the Bible said, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Now they begin to pray. The enemy's surrounding us, you know. And so they begin to pray and to ask help of the Lord. Now, I said a while ago that I believe in the power of the Word of God. But I tell you, whatever we do in the service of the Lord, we need the help of the Lord. We need to ask. You know, the Bible teaches us to seek and we'll find, to ask and it'll be given us, to knock and the doors will be open. And we apply that to lost people. But it is applicable to God's people as well. If we have a heart's desire, we need to present it to the Lord. And we need to tell Him about our needs. We read in the book of Philippians, I believe that it is, about I'll just turn to it. It's about the petition that we make before the Lord. In the last chapter of the book of Philippians, this is what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, it's not that God doesn't know our needs. He does know our needs. But He wants us to realize that we have needs. And we need to ask Him for help. And you know, it's a great privilege to be able to pray, to have access to God. And that access comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, he said, my heavenly Father will do it for you. And so we need to have that faith and we need to do that asking.
We need to realize our need, and we need to present it to the Lord. Lord, we're facing something that we can't handle by ourselves. We need your help, and we need to pray, and we need to ask God for help. He said, make your request known unto God. So we read over here again about Jehoshaphat. And it says, he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest thou in all the kingdoms of heaven? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to stand, to withstand thee? And he said, art not thou our God, our God? And he said, who drivest out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gaveth it to the seed of Abraham? And he said, and they dwell and have built sanctuaries therein for thy name. Now I want to go down a little further in the 12th verse of this chapter. And he said, O our God, he said, wilt thou not judge them? For we have not might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. We're looking to you. We're looking to you to guide us, to lead us, to provide a strength for us. We're looking to you. You know what needs to be done. You know what's needed. And so we're looking to you. To help us against the enemies that we're fighting in this world. And so he goes on down in verse 15. And it says, thus saith the Lord unto you. Do you ever pray and get an answer? You know, you make your request known unto God. And you're burdened and you want, Lord, show me. Let me know what needs to be done. The answer comes. Well, it's a wonderful feeling, you know, to get a prayer through, and you know you've talked to God. And so the Lord answered him, and he said this, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor be dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Now he didn't say, now, you don't have to fight. You still have to fight. Now, you still have to fight the good fight of faith. You still have to run the race that's set before you. But you don't have to run it by yourself. You see, he didn't say, now, you don't worry about it. You just go back and sit down in the palace, you know, and I'll take care of everything. Oh, no, this is the Lord's battle. I tell you, but God is using us in the battle. And he expects us to do our share of the fighting. He expects us to hold up our hands before God. He expects us to fasten our eyes upon him. Peter, one time, he was on the Sea of Galilee with some others. And he saw Jesus walking on the water. And he said, Lord, bid me to come unto thee. And Jesus said, come. And he stepped out of the boat. And he walked on the water. Now, I don't know how far he walked. But he walked a little ways. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on the water. But you know, he was walking by faith. But when he began to look around and he saw the billows and the waves that were rolling, you know, he had to take his eyes off Jesus to see that. And he saw that and he began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. He wasn't talking about the salvation of his soul. He had done been saved a long time by then. But he was in trouble, and he needed help. And he cried out, "Oh Lord, save me!" And the Lord took him by the hand. And he said, "Peter, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? You were walking, you was doing just fine until you started doubting. You took your eyes off me and you began looking at the things that were going on around you. And that's when you started sinking." So anyway, the prayer, he got an answer. The Lord said, "Tomorrow you go down against them." See, you still have to fight. You still have to fight. "They come up by the cliff, and you shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness. And you shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem." And so, you know, they were facing enemies. They needed help. You know, first thing they did, call on the Lord for help. "Lord, we need help. Help us." And you know, in this sin-cursed world that we're living in, Satan is fighting God's people. The Lord, last week I spoke on the need for revival. And you know, I think the place to start, we need to start with prayer. We need to be praying. We need to be asking God to help us. You know, we're willing to do what you want us to do. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to stand. I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me to do. But I know that within myself, I can't do it. I need help. And I'm looking to you to give me strength and to give me what I need. And you know, as I said, prayer, Jesus was, he put a lot of emphasis on prayer. In fact, he taught his disciples how to pray. And we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Bible says that. We don't know how to pray and what to pray for as we ought. But the Bible says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. God's Holy Spirit. You know, He'll help us pray. I've tried to pray lots of times when I didn't feel like I got through. But there's been a few times when I prayed and I got through. And I knew that I touched the throne. And I knew that God heard my cry. And I know that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know He hasn't, His strength has not abated in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And He's still able to help us. And so I want to encourage you, you know, to pray and to pray in faith. We have this promise in the Bible. You know, James is talking about faith. And what he was talking about is putting some legs under your prayers. He said, "You say you got faith, show me your faith by what you do." You know, one man may say, "I have faith," and another say, "You know, I have works." You know, Abraham, he was the father of the faithful. Boy, did he have faith, huh? Took his son up and offered him on the mountain. And he had faith that even if the boy died, God would raise him from the dead to keep his promise. Now that's faith, folks. But he was faithful to God. "I'm going to do what God asked me to do. I know God's going to take care of it." And he put his faith in God. And so God stayed his hand and his son survived. And God provided a substitute. And that's what He done for you and I. He provided a substitute. Everyone would have died in our own sins, you know, if Jesus hadn't come and took our place and died on the cross for us. Every one of us, our sins would have went to the grave with us. They'd have still been with us when we lifted our fruitless cries in a burning hell. Our sins would have still been upon us if Jesus hadn't become our substitute and died on the cross to deliver us from the consequences of sin. And I'm glad that he did. But you know, I started to quote a verse of scripture, you know, where James was talking about, show me your faith by your works. And Abraham, the Bible said he showed his faith by his works. And he said that his works were made perfect by faith. You know, so we need to work. We need to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And we need to have faith. Now he went on down and he said, is any among you sick? He said, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. I believe that teaches this in just a few words. I believe it says, pray with all your might and call the doctor. You know, you do what you can do, and then you seek medical help too. Anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Provide whatever they need. And we know in the Bible that was one of the things that was used for medicinal purposes, was oil and wine, you know. And so we do need to pray. And he said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And he said, Elijah was a man of like passion as we are. And he prayed, and it rained not for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the Lord, the heavens gave forth rain, you know. And it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I felt like I needed to preach on this today. I felt like that I needed to encourage all of you. I hope soon, within the next month or so, we can begin a revival, a few nights at least. You know, we've got people that are lost and they need to be saved. We are, as the people of God, we've got all kinds of enemies that are facing us and that are warring against us. And I tell you, God can come to our rescue. I'm telling you, God can hear us pray, and God has the ability to do what we can't do. And we need to ask him for help. And oh, listen, we don't need to doubt the power of prayer. We need to pray and seek the face of God. And the Lord will hear us and he'll help us. I know from past experiences, I know what the Lord can do. And I know he can still hear us when we pray. I hope that the message has been help to you in some way, that it can help us to press forward. No place to give up. No place to give up. Can't throw up our hands and say, well, nothing I can do. Oh, yes, there is something we can do. There's something we can do. We can pray, and we can hold on to God. And we can follow his leadership. And we can obey his word. You know, and God will give us the victory. That's the only place we'll find victory is in the Lord. So may God help us. I'm going to close. I hope and pray the Lord will bless the message. I hope that he'll bless us and that he'll help us. All right.